Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time to talk some soccer as Sporting Kansas City remains red hot and red hot topics as well. In addition to the play on the field, of course, our coverage of Sporting Kansas City brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, and of course, Corona Premier. If you didn't try it at Cinco de Mayo, ask for it today. It's their new lower carb, less calorie option. It is absolutely fantastic. Peter Vermees with us here on our Sprint guest line. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well, Soren. How are you, buddy?
Good. As I understand it, some congratulations are in order as Sporting Kansas City announcing today that a contract extension for you has been completed. That is great news, no doubt, for Sporting Kansas City fans and the organization, and I would assume you feel quite good about this.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. I've been here, I think I'm going into my 13th year with the organization, between being a technical director and a coach, and the opportunity to be extended through 2023 it tells me a lot in regards to the club's commitment and vice versa. This has been, I don't want to sound corny, but it's been my life's work, and I'm extremely excited to be continuing on continuing with the opportunity to continue to build the project that we have had this vision for. And it's great. I consider this to be my project. I am fortunate to work with an incredible staff every day. And it's not too often, I think, in life that you get to do something that you love. And you can, you just get an opportunity to continue to keep doing it. And so I'm very appreciative to the owners and their vision and their commitment to me.
You've always said in our discussions that, there are a lot of things you wanted to do. And, the subject of your name coming out with the men's national team always comes up. And you've said, listen, there's a lot of things I want to do here. There's a lot of stuff I need to finish here. That's not really, listen, you would certainly listen. It's the country calling. You would take a listen, but certainly not something you're out campaigning for. Does this close the door on that? Or is that something that the contract says, hey, if the country calls, if the national team calls, that's still a possibility?
Well, look, I'm not going to – I just won't talk about the specifics of the contract. What I will say is this, that I think it's pretty clear in the decision that myself and Sporting Kansas City have made with this extension. I think the other thing, too, is that and I – wish nothing but the best for U.S. soccer. I think the biggest thing is that they have to make a decision on how they're going to be moving forward into the future. And for me, all the stuff that has been going on has been nothing but speculation. And just like I have to deal with, week in and week out with every game, I have to deal in reality. And reality is that this is the project that I've been working on for as long as I have. And it's something that I feel that we've made some incredible strides with. But we still have a lot of work to do, and I am committed to that project, and I'm excited, to be able to continue to keep doing that. It's been tremendous watching the growth of this organization, but we still have so much more work to do, and again, I'm elated that I have the chance to continue on in that position to, drive that project to where we think it has to be.
Peter, you said last time that there was an announcement about a contract extension. I believe the statement, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm coming from memory from several years ago. I report to Neil Patterson. That was the quote that I remember from you. That was how the structure worked. Mr. Patterson has obviously, unfortunately, passed. You're clearly comfortable with the structure of the organization now. Is there a definitive way that the structure works from ownership to you now?
Yes, it's Cliff and Michael Illig. That's who I deal with on an everyday basis. So Cliff is at the top. I have a direct communication, probably, if not daily, probably 3, 4, 5 times a week with Mike Illig. And so we're constantly in communication, or he's actually here at the facility, that training, what have you. We are in, that's my direct contact on a daily basis.
Okay. And it seems like, hey, this would be that's the two families that own the organization to begin this. It seems like it would be a seamless transition, but and this seems to confirm that, right? I mean, you sign on because the structure of the organization is one that you're still very comfortable with.
Yeah, if there's one thing that I've always been very fortunate in here, and that is that you know, all of our ownership families, they have been tremendous, from the Pattersons, Illigs, Corans, Medes, Heinemans. I'm just very fortunate to be dealing with them on a regular basis. Now, the great thing is that, as you know, they all are here in Kansas City, and they're at every match. And so I see all of them all the time. But when it comes to a business side, I deal with Michael directly and Cliff.
Okay, we're talking to Peter Vermees. He signs a contract extension through 2023 to be the manager of Sporting Kansas City. And by the way, I've asked this before, and it's probably a couple of clicks away for me. Is it manager and technical director? I mean, what is the official title? I just say manager, but I'd like to be somewhat accurate, for crying out loud.
I think it's probably the manager technical director. I only say that because I don't think that it's ingrained yet in our vernacular in this country. I think it's getting there, but you know, look, I make all the soccer decisions on the technical side, and really that's what I do. Whether it's player personnel, staff, you name it, that's kind of where my position is.
All right, Peter, let's talk about the team on the field that obviously you're now going to be in charge of for quite some time. Not that there was any question about that, but you know, this making it definitive, certainly as we look to the future. How do you feel about your team? I mean, I go back, we've talked a couple of times since the season began, but we talked about there maybe needing to be some patience out of us fans that might take a little time to bring all these new pieces together, chemistry-wise. Maybe it took a little time to get the defense going, but the offense made up for it with the firepower. Do you like where this team is, and how close is it to hitting its stride when you're missing one of your best players?
Yeah, I think there's some things that we're really good at the moment and probably ahead of schedule, and then I think there's some other things that we definitely can you know, advance and progress in, if you will. And an example is that we have faced some different tactical challenges very early on here on the season. And that's good. I mean, I think it's great. I'm not complaining. I think it's been great, because what it has helped is get us prepared for those things even better for the next time around. But it's also made our players see those ideas again, early on in the season, which gives us a lot of games to and a lot of training sessions to prepare for those tactical situations. At the same time, I think that what we've added is we've added some very important players to our team. And as you said, with Felipe Gutierrez being out, one of our better players for sure. The great thing is that we're taking care of something that we're taking care of it early in the season, so that in the back half of the season he's going to be available, and I'm hoping that not even hoping, I know his surgery went really well. Now it's about bringing him back in the right timeline and adding him to the group, and then still knowing full well that we do this all the time, right? We have a summer window coming up, and we'll try to add some more pieces at that time and continue to try to build this team as we move through the season.
You've been through this injury, I read. How fluid is that timeline?
Again, you know how it is. Everything's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. It could be anywhere from about 6 weeks to 3 months. I always think it's somewhere in the middle of that. The biggest thing that I will make sure is that what you don't want to do is the guy gets over this injury, so he feels good, but you don't give him the chance to kind of get fit again so that he doesn't injure something else. And so that's the piece that I want to make sure that is the right piece. And then you also got to remember, we're going to be bringing him back during a very difficult time of the year, which is the summer. And so I also want to be smart around that. But I know this is that when we finally get him back, that, you know, our objective is to try to get him so that he's ready to go, he's pain-free, and you know, he's going to work towards getting back to form.
And you said, you know, he's here for the long haul. How many years is he signed for?
So we got him under a 3-year and an option, so 4 years.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. It makes sense to do what we're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And in replacing him, Jimmy Madronda, who's kind of become a Swiss Army knife for you, at least over the last couple of years, his skills translate to just about anywhere on the field. He was playing some midfield there for you or this past game. How do you go about it? Is it kind of a revolving door? Do you have one guy you want to settle in there, or is it going to be kind of a rotation there so that nobody gets too far away from what you want them to do when Gutierrez does come back?
I do think that we have other players that can play in there. You know, the change that I made for that last game was more of a tactical change because we knew that there was going to be something in the game that, you know, we were probably going to have a lot of the ball. We wanted to make sure that we were in a position to take advantage of that with the players that we selected for, you know, to start the game. That piece is really, really important for us. It's huge. And at the same time, moving forward, I have other pieces that I can put there too, and it's going to depend on the opponent.
All right, and okay, so that makes sense. Daniel Shalvey gets a nice goal, but for me, you know, of course, whatever. I was going to reference Pee Wee soccer, right? I love goals personally. When there's everybody's making effort, right? You get those, you get a great header piece from Aiko Parra. You get another header off the post. Guys following, hustling, never giving up. And Shalvey gets the goal. And he had a couple other nice opportunities, one off the post and one just a little bit high. That would have been more of your soccer beautiful goals than just coming in and cleaning up the garbage, if you will. But those, to me, and maybe garbage, I don't mean to offend. I love garbage goals, right? I think in any sport, the hustle goals are the ones, that's how you win games. That's how you pile wins up. It's not just the great plays. But he's been around the goal and is still so young at 21 years old, even though we've heard his name here for a couple of years. How is he on his progress? How much do you look at it and say, hey, the hustle's there, but man, he's this far away from finishing some of those more beautiful goals that kind of define more of a skill set?
Yeah, I thought this last game was probably his best game of the year thus far. What he's really added, you know, even just since last year, and you got to remember, he came through our academy, right? So this is a kid that is one of the kids that we're talking about when we talk about our pro pathway, going from the academy to Swill Park Rangers and then to the senior team. And, you know, he's now a full-fledged starter, and he deserves it based on not only the way that he plays, but also the way he's progressing and his work ethic. And so I would extend that, you know, he's become so much better on the defensive side. And then at the same time, he has an incredible desire and hunger to score. You know, he hits the one off the crossbar late in the first half. He's just in and around it all the time, and he's got an incredible attitude. And he also has something else. He's got that it factor. He's that player that, you know, he's confident, but he's not arrogant. He's humble, and there's just something about that with certain guys that they come off, you know, with a you know, give me the ball in the moment, and he's got that too. So I see an incredible future for this kid. And the fact that he's as young as he is, I mean, there's just, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and a homegrown guy, too. That's one of the things that's got to be more, even more exciting. I know you all your players, wherever they come from, it's great to score, but it is great to see and for fans to know that academy is producing. We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Kind of the flip side is Kerry Shelton, who's yet to score, and he's one of the guys, too, with the header off the post in that play we talked about. He seems like he's that close. I mean, that right now the soccer gods are just, you know, I know we talk a lot about baseball gods, but the soccer gods just aren't quite smiling on him. He's doing a lot of things right, but just not cashing yet for himself. I know you've been quoted as talking about the things he's doing for the team, but do you have to go over to him and say, keep your head up when he keeps coming up just short of putting one in the net?
I do. And I think everything you said, you probably couldn't have said it any better than I would. I would add one thing, and I would say that, you know, there are times when a player like that in that position is having maybe a rough time finding, you know, like the back of the net. But when the team's getting results like we are, you also got to remember that there's other things that he is attributing to the team contributing to the actual overall success and results that we're getting. And so, you know, we take that into consideration. And the other is that, you know, for the last 2-3 years when he's in New York, he's playing out on the wings. And we've now moved him inside because we felt that that was where he was going to give us the most impact. And he has. But it also helps when once he does get that goal, I think it's going to be a big relief for him. I'm not so worried about it personally. I'm just not. I would like for him to get one because I like him to be rewarded for the work that he's done. But it's getting close. It's getting close. And like you said, even him hitting the post there, I mean, he kept that play alive. So if he doesn't hit the post, then Daniel doesn't score. So, you know, there's other things that you have to look at and evaluate. And I think, again, your description of it was spot on.
Yeah, but the term is manager for your job. And a lot of time that's managing the personalities. And he's the type of guy that's not going to get down. I mean, some guys, you know, you root for them to get that goal so that they see the fruits of the work they're doing and they don't start, you know, just moping around saying, well, I'm not scoring. He's not one of those guys that you got to worry about?
I mean, I think any player in that position, they start putting pressure on themselves.
Sure.
My best advice in that situation, and I've already told them this, I said, the one thing that you can't do is you can't start shying away from opportunities because you're now thinking in your mind that I might miss it. And then here we go again. Right. You just got to keep getting into that position to try to score because, believe me, one of them is going to go in. And when it does, you know, that's how the gates open.
We mentioned the defense is getting back to what we became accustomed to last year and another shutout for the club. One opportunity, though, and you know, you dominate the game, and this is the nature of soccer, 24-10 on shots, 7-2 on shots on goal. But one time where a couple of guys end up kind of just falling down, basically, gives a pretty open chance. You know, is this maybe, it seems like last year, maybe not even last year, maybe 2 years ago, but at times last year, that one goes in. Is this maybe the yang coming back around for a lot of times when you guys would pile up and win the shots on goal and come away with a 1-1 game or a 0-0 game? Do you feel like maybe some things when you're getting a header off a post and then a put back for a goal and maybe this is just, you know, finally fate's coming back around to your side?
Sounds good to me. I would like to hope so. I think one of the things that we're different in now is that you know, I thought that if you even just go back to last year, we possessed the ball really well, but I wouldn't say that we had, whether it was through the team or individuals, we weren't as good at breaking that, you know, park the bus mentality from the opposition down. We now have that. I mean, when you look at the game and you look at the chances that we created, and I know we didn't score all of them, right? But the difference is that we have individuals that can break the other team down. We have team concepts that the guys can execute on to break the other, you know, the opponent down on. And that's where I think the change has been in the group. We still want to eliminate like that chance we gave there at the end. That was really the chance for them. And believe me, we talk about those things all the time. You know, that decision on that play probably should have been more of just clearing the ball on a first-time clearance as opposed to trying to dribble out. But at the end of the day, I also think that Tim had it covered. And so I'm hoping as we move forward, yeah, look, we can eliminate those as much as possible. And at the same time, you know, if we score 2 and 3 goals, then it's really difficult for that team to obviously get back into the game.
All right, we're talking to Peter Vermees, manager, now signed up through 2023 with a contract extension to Sporting Kansas City, announcing that today. And, of course, first place Sporting Kansas City, barreling towards the playoffs again. And a team that you may see on down the road in the postseason, should both of you continue your seasons the way it's going. And that's Atlanta, first place in the East. On a short week, this is kind of a clash of a couple of Titans, Sporting a Titan more than just this year, as you're used to being in the middle of the playoff battle. But, you know, great success now this season again and headed into a first-place matchup.
Well, you know, you were asking me earlier about, you know, the position, and we were, you know, you had mentioned the national team. And what I would say to all that, and that is that, you know, Sporting Kansas City is, even though we're in a small market, we've been considered, you know, if not the, at least one of the top three model franchises in Major League Soccer. And I think at times maybe we don't get the national recognition that we should based on the fact that we're probably not in New York or LA or Toronto, and we're also not spending, maybe the kind of monies that those teams are when it comes to individual players, but somehow we figure out a way always to be competitive as an organization. And I think, you know, this is, you know, when you, if you call it one of the model franchises, you're also saying that this position here at this club, too, is one of the jobs that is one of the more sought-after jobs, being with this organization and facilities and ownership and everything. So I feel extremely fortunate to be a part of it. I would say that, look, Atlanta has done a tremendous job. They really are a great team. They've spent to be that as well. But at the same time, we're also a club that has, consistently has sustained success. And I think that's a, it's an important aspect. And somehow we keep coming up against the Goliaths and we fare pretty well. And so, like I said, I'm excited to be continuing on here. And at the same time, I have a lot of pride in this organization and what we're able to accomplish with the way we go about doing things.
Well, and I think that's what has the fans so passionate. It seems like there's a first-class ownership with first-class management, you and your staff putting things together, and that this is a harmonious relationship. I don't think anybody was sitting on the edge of their seat wondering, is Peter Vermes going to be back? There's fear that you would take the national team job, no doubt, because they recognize and appreciate the job that's been done here by you and by ownership. So, yes, I think it's a day of celebration, no doubt.
That's a fair statement, and I would add that you know you saw the game on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I mean, being at Sporting Park, and we have sellouts all the time. When you're there in that environment, I mean, that is an incredible place to watch a game. And then I would say that every team that comes in, they may not like to play there just because, you know, look, we're putting it on them. But I know that all the players appreciate the environment, because I don't know a professional athlete that doesn't want to play in front of a full stadium. They love that environment. So what an incredible place, and our fans make it that way. Those are all reasons, and I've said this to you before. I mean, look, I grew up in New Jersey, but living in Kansas City, there's nothing like it. I've been here for 18 years now. My family loves it. I love it. It's a great place, and I'm so excited that I can continue to keep being here for, through 23.
And I think you see it in Tim Howard, who obviously has a love-hate relationship down there with the Cauldron, but you can see the respect and appreciation that he has for the intensity of the fans, and that, even if he plays the role of the villain, I think he sees the big picture of this is a great spot and a great showpiece for soccer in the U.S. and how successful soccer can be, is, and will be in the future.
Those guys that come in here, they have to try to do whatever they can to, stick their chest out and stay confident for their team. But at the same time, I think they have a tremendous amount of respect for this organization and our environment that's been created by our fans. It's something that's well received around the league.
All right, I know you need to get going and get back to work. It is a short week with Atlanta coming up, so I'll give you our Mosquito Squad Final Four. Four quickies. Just tell me the first thing that pops into your mind. First of all, do you have an agent since you just got the contract? No. So, okay. All right, good to know. It didn't seem like you were preoccupied with the team's performance or with your contract based on how the team's played. So nice job handling all that. Probably good ownership, too, makes it easier to get all that stuff done also, I would
assume. It does. We've built up a relationship that it makes it easy. But even during my playing years, I really didn't have one either. I just have always done my own deals. I think that I can represent myself better than probably anyone else.
Okay. Give me one non-soccer athlete that you would like to have on your squad.
I'll take LeBron.
Yeah, okay. I thought that might work.
Could you imagine him being like a central defender and coming up for an offensive corner kick? That would be great.
Okay.
Just put the ball up there and let him just stick it in the back of the net.
All right. Tell me, difference between a hernia and a sports hernia is what? I've had a hernia. I hear about sports. Is it just athlete or not athlete?
No, I'm not a doctor, but I had a really good night's sleep last night on a Holiday Inn Express. So I'm going to tell you that I think the difference is that a sports hernia is usually associated with the inguinal canal.
Okay.
Is the difference, whereas a regular hernia could just be in the abdomen wall.
Okay, good to know. The inguinal canal. I don't think we have
Correct.
To beep that. I'm pretty sure we're okay.
No, you don't. Those.
Okay, good to know. All right, tell me, what were your thoughts on the ending to the Avengers Infinity War movie?
Hey, I saw that movie.
Oh!
I did.
We were taking wagers. We were like, no way he's seen it. No way he's seen
my
it.
My son is a big fan of that stuff, and you know, sometimes it's not as easy, you know, my job, as you would know, that to go and do things, and he wanted to go, and I'm a movie guy. I like movies. I don't have time to watch series normally and stuff like that, and you know, sitcoms. But I went and saw it. It's a tough one because now you're going to be waiting a long time to find out what happens next. But I guess it's a little bit like Lord of the Rings, if you will.
Yeah, it is. It is. Peter, congratulations again on the contract. We'll let you get back to work and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Seren. Really appreciate it. Always great talking to you, buddy.